This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we continue our study of Ecclesiastes with A Time for Everything, The God-Given Task, From Dust to Dust, An Unhappy Business, and A Threefold Cord. Join me, Pastor Will Whedon, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
This is the day which the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
From the rising of the sun to its setting.
The name of the Lord is to be praised.
Return to the Lord, your God, for he is gracious and merciful.
Slow to anger, and God gives steadfast love, and repents of evil.
Jesus said, "If any man would come after me,
let him deny himself to take up his cross and follow me."
Christ was wounded for our transgressions.
He was bruised for our iniquities.
From the rising of the sun to its setting,
the name of the Lord is to be praised. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever.
A reading from Luke, chapter 11. Now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples." And he said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation.' And he said to them, Which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, "Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey, and I have nothing to set before him." And he will answer from within, "Do not bother me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything." I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his impudence he will rise and give him whatever he needs. And I tell you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, it will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one.
He was delivered out of death. He was delivered from the sins of the people.
Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered.
He was delivered out of death.
We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one.
He was delivered out of death. He was delivered from the sins of the people.
You shall have no other gods. Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever.
The Small Catechism, page 323. What is the introduction to the Lord's Prayer?
Our Father, who art in heaven.
What does this mean? What is the first petition?
Hallowed be thy name.
What does this mean?
God's name is certainly holy in itself, but we pray in this petition.
How is God's name kept holy?
God's name is kept holy when the word of God is taught in truth and purity, and we as children of God also lead holy lives according to it. Help us to do this, dear Father in heaven. If anyone who teaches religion contrary to God's word profanes the name of God among us, protect us from this and the Father.
What is the second petition? What does this mean?
The kingdom of God certainly comes by itself without our prayer, but we pray this petition that it may come to us also.
How does God's kingdom come?
God's kingdom comes when our Heavenly Father gives us His Holy Spirit, so that by His grace we believe His holy word and lead godly lives here in time and there.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Lord, teach us to pray. For St. Luke, the Lord's Prayer is given in response to this request from an unknown disciple of Jesus. Lord, teach us to pray. Yet what is this disciple really asking here? What is it that inspires his fervent desire? Is he interested in the proper methods of prayer? Does he seek the proper words and the proper posture, the proper techniques, the proper discipline of prayer? Perhaps. However, I think there is something deeper involved in this request, something more profound for us to consider. For this disciple is not ignorant. He knows the Old Testament law. He has journeyed to the temple and participated in its liturgies. This disciple knows and prays the Psalms. He has heard and recited the prayers in Jewish synagogues. He has seen the public example of respected rabbis and Pharisees. Regarding the form and the methods and the techniques of prayer, this disciple is surely well trained, I dare say, better trained than we are. And yet, despite this training, this anonymous disciple now comes to Jesus with this request: Lord, teach us to pray. Indeed, he makes the request as if he has never prayed before. Why does the disciple feel compelled to make this request? What is it that makes him think that something is lacking in his own tradition of prayer? St. Luke, I think, gives us the reason. Our text indicates that this disciple makes his request after witnessing Jesus' own practice. Now, Jesus was praying in a certain place, our text says, and when he finished, then the request is made. In other words, this disciple sees something new in Jesus' practice. He recognizes something unique, something utterly unprecedented in Jesus' prayer. Indeed, in Luke's gospel, the disciples have indeed witness that Jesus praying accomplishes the most extraordinary things. When Jesus prays at the Jordan River, then, the text says, the heavens were opened and the Spirit descended in bodily form as a dove. When Jesus prays, 5 loaves and 2 fish become more than enough to satisfy the hunger of 5,000 men. When Jesus prays, his face and garments are transfigured by divine glory, and the voice from heaven testifies to Jesus as his own son. No, dear friends, I do not think it is the technique or the outward form of Jesus' prayer that inspires this disciple's request. It is rather its effectiveness. Jesus' prayer is effective beyond anyone's imagination. And witnessing the supreme effectiveness of his praying, this disciple now comes to Jesus with his fervent desire. Lord, teach us to pray. Indeed, dear friends, what is it that makes prayer effective? How do we answer this question without inspiring an arrogant piety on the one hand, or falling into utter despair about our worship on the other hand? For St. Luke, the effectiveness of prayer does not lie in the words or the methods or the techniques or the discipline of prayer. Rather, the effectiveness of prayer lies in the one who is praying. And this disciple in our text recognizes the most fundamental of truths. The only one whose prayer is truly effective, the only one whose petitions are heard, whose words and pleas avail before God, is Jesus Christ, the beloved Son of the Father. Indeed, for St. Luke, our salvation depends on the effectiveness of Jesus' prayer. It is his prayer at the table that establishes the New Testament in his blood. It is his prayer in Gethsemane that ensures that the will of the Father is done on earth as it is in heaven. And as he hangs on the cross, is Jesus not portrayed by Luke as the true priestly liturgist? With extended hands, he intercedes, "Father, forgive them. Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit." It is for this reason that Luke then describes the church as devoted to the apostolic doctrine and the fellowship, the breaking of the bread, and yes, to the prayers. Indeed, the pouring out of Jesus' blood on the altar is the essence of true prayer. For Jesus' blood speaks better things than that of Abel. The pouring out of his blood is indeed the perfect and eternal liturgy of heaven. His shed blood is the perfect prayer that now never ceases. His blood eternally intercedes before the Father, eternally atones, eternally sanctifies, eternally secures the Father's favor, his forgiveness, his protection from all evil. Yet what are these better things that Jesus' blood now speaks before the Father? Dear friends, I think it is in the Lord's Prayer that we hear the voice of Jesus' blood. "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come." The introduction and beginning petitions teach us about the essence and effectiveness of true prayer. If we are to pray truly, then we must pray in communion with Jesus. The little pronoun "our" now proves the point. Indeed, this little pronoun is the key to understanding the whole prayer. With this pronoun, Jesus invites us to share in his own prayer, to bear his own holy name, to have a place within his own divine sonship, to be co-heirs with him of the kingdom that comes. Lord, teach us to pray. The disciple who made this request is not known, but dear friends, we ought to give thanks for his bold petition. For what a profound gift has now been given to us in Jesus' response. The Lord's Prayer gives us more than a form, more than a technique or some outward piety. In the Lord's Prayer, we are given the most privileged status. We are now given the grace to enter God's presence, bearing the name of his own beloved Son. Is there any prayer more effective than the Son's request of his Father? Is there any petition of Jesus that the Father does not hear and answer? Can we have any greater confidence than to stand before the Father within the intercessory cry of Jesus' blood? It is for this reason that Cyprian, the ancient bishop of Carthage in the 3rd century, once exhorted his people this way: "Let us, beloved brethren, pray as God our teacher has taught us. Let us come up into his ears in the prayer of Christ, and let the Father acknowledge the words of his Son." Dear friends, let us take advantage of our privileged status. Let us pray as Luther himself exhorts, asking God with all boldness and confidence, as dear children ask their dear Father. To Christ be all the glory forever and ever.
Amen.
We keep Nathan Demlow in our prayers as he returns home and begins medical testing. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the gift of divine peace and of pardon, With all our heart and with all our mind, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the Holy Christian Church, here and scattered throughout the world, and for the proclamation of the gospel and the calling of all to faith, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this nation, for our cities and communities, and for the common welfare of us all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For seasonable weather and for the fruitfulness of the earth, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who labor, for those whose work is difficult or dangerous, and for all who travel, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all those in need, for the hungry and homeless, for the widowed and orphaned, and for all those in prison, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the sick and dying, and for all those who care for them, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For Nathan Demlow, as he begins medical testing, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Finally, for these and for all our needs of body and soul, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
O God, whose glory it is always to have mercy, be gracious to all who have gone astray from your ways, and bring them again with penitent hearts and steadfast faith, to embrace and hold fast the unchangeable truth of your word, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Blessed Lord, you have caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning. Grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn, and take them to heart, that by the patience and comfort of your holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
I thank you,
my Heavenly Father,
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Almighty and Merciful Lord, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, bless and preserve us.